We're talking relationships with Melissa Ferrari tonight on 131283. We'd love to hear from you, especially if you've got tips for co-parenting with teens after a divorce. Now, last week on Talking Relationships, we spoke about how to co-parent after a separation, particularly with young kids. But tonight we will delve into the topic once more, but focusing on teenagers and how to support them through that change. Now, for many parents, as children approach the adolescent years, it can be quite a challenge to maintain that sense of connectedness. Add to that a separation or a divorce, and bridging the gap and foster the relationship with teenagers, that can be even more tricky. Joining us is Liz Paul, psychotherapist and counsellor who helps couples going through separation. I'm glad to say she's on the line. How are you doing, Liz?
Good, thank you, Dave. And yourself?
Yeah, good. Thank you.
Hi there, Liz. It's Melissa here. Hello.
Hi there, Melissa. We're at it again.
We are. Welcome back. Thank you so much for coming back on the program. I love so much. Well, David and I both love so much of what you had to say last week about younger children and how managing separation and divorce and the children during that time. And then towards the end of the conversation, you mentioned adolescence, and that's a little bit different story.
Sure is.
So what are the biggest challenges with teenagers and keeping a healthy connection with them when going through a separation or a breakup of their parents?
Well, that's really tough because, you know, parenting under any circumstances is a really tough gig. But when you're co-parenting teenagers, it's particularly challenging, you know, because what's happening is it's like rearing toddlers on hormones. Right now we've got these toddlers because they're, you know, they can have outrageous displays, but they've got hormones going everywhere. And what they really want, they're wanting you, but they're wanting to separate from you. You know, and this is simply a developmental stage. So we have to sort of get in tune with that and understand that, yes, right now we're going to have to make a few things different, you know. Go on.
When they start looking like they are pretending that they don't care that to them it really doesn't matter what's going on around them, parents need to have a different kind of attunement to that, don't they?
They do. You do. You have to understand that, you know, it's difficult times for them under best of circumstances because there's a lot going on for them from an emotional, psychological and a physical place. But we have to tune into that. So, and that doesn't mean Barrett, you know, sending them picking me in questions all the time. But it's acknowledging what you just said, just keeping an eye on that and being around and being accessible and being able to chat and letting them know that you're open to these chats. But, of course, you're coming into this stage and you're co-parenting. So it's even harder. You might be seeing them every second week or you might have most of the custody. Co-parenting doesn't necessarily mean 50-50. But whereas I might have said last week, you should keep routine and all the rest, as you get into the later years of raising adolescents and co-parenting, flexibility does have to come and be looked at, and they want to start having an opinion on what's going on with their life. And as you said there, you know, the moodiness and the dark stages, you have to be able to tap in and say, well, what's going on here? And find out what is going on, you know. So sometimes they want to change in the arrangement. So
as a parent, being disciplined enough to sort of be there with them as well as sort of giving an energy, that we're just hanging out, is a really good balance, isn't it?
You know, one of the things I saw as a tip recently, which is a really good tip and it's very simple, it's okay to be bored. You know, when you have your kids, you don't have to have them interactive the whole time because you don't see them all the time. Letting them just hang out and you just hang out, not necessarily with them all in the same room, is all right. You know, teenagers like to just do nothing and that's okay to do nothing. So, you know, we've got to learn to let them be a little bit more who they want to be. But having said that, Melissa, what I want to get back down to is we've got a bit of flexibility, but there are a few things that you and your partner, if you want to tip, have to get onto board ASAP if you've got a teenager in your house and you're co-parenting. So, sure, we can be flexible about things and we might sit down and make arrangements about, you know, maybe you want to spend a bit more time at one house or the other because of study and study group and school and, you know, particularly coming into the HSC years, really important to engage with your children about that issue. But the other thing is you and your partner must get on top of a few things, and that's, you know, your child's sexuality and his abuse, you know, substance abuse. The pair of you have to have a something about that that you agree on. So whatever that is. And then that's where you have to, one thing you must agree on and stick to, both of you, is those two things. So some simple rules there, Melissa. And I know you're trying to speak to me. What were you trying to say?
No, I think that that's great. So really what you're saying is parents need to create that kind of container where they're getting the idea, look, mum and dad, are, you know, we're managing this from afar together. And I think last week we started talking about, you know, if you're not talking to your partner, at least through email or through apps or something, have some kind of communication going, particularly around if a child's having negative reactions or feeling quite emotional. Any thoughts on that there, Liz?
Yeah, well, sometimes it's looking about trying to find out, you know, are these negative reactions coming at any certain times, and who is it, the person, who is it the child feels most comfortable talking to about this? Because sometimes it's not necessarily either of the parents, and they have to understand that. So it might be grandma, or it might be pop, or it might be auntie. And, you know, sometimes it's sort of good to be on board with that and sort of say, well, who do you feel comfortable talking to? Or maybe you've noticed they actually go to auntie all the time. Then do some auntie time and see if she can tap in. Use your resources, because as parents, they will sometimes block you simply because you might talk to one another. You know, you might have a good co-parenting relationship and therefore you'll get blocked. Or they don't want to tell you because they don't hurt your feelings.
Yeah.
You know, as the little boy I was telling you about last week, stayed with Dad purely because he felt sorry for Dad. But he was in agony because he wanted to live on the other side of the harbour. Didn't love Mum more, but just wanted to be near his school, near his friends again, but had gone and chosen, because they allowed the children to make the decision, which is fine, but had chosen to live with Dad. And it wasn't until a year later he said, but I don't really want to. You know, so we had to get someone to tap into that.
So Liz,
and that came through therapy then.
Yeah, you're really talking about there how as parents we've got to understand that sometimes we have to hold the fact that kids will hurt us sometimes.
They will. And
sometimes it will feel like, why are they choosing another parent, or why are they choosing someone else to talk to? But sometimes it's just not personal. It's just something that as parents we need to learn to manage.
Absolutely. And children are pretty good with tapping into your emotions. And when we're talking about adolescents here, they're spot on generally. And this is what parents don't understand. They're spot on with understanding exactly where and what makes you tick and what makes your partner tick. And sometimes they try to manage you too, but to their detriment. And that's where you've got to keep an eye out. But then, you know, it's not for them to manage you too.
Yeah, and they're certainly clever. Teenagers nowadays are certainly clever. They know what's going on. And it's important as parents that we realise that.
Yeah, and that you tell them, hey, you know, you're the teenager, or you're our child. You don't need to look after us. We're all right. We're here for you, because so many of them are looking after their parents, one or both parents, in some regard, not always. So it's, you know, having that conversation, and if you can, getting your ex-partner to have that conversation. And, you know, you're right, Melissa, some parents get hurt by that conversation. But, you know, generally, if you really listen, you can see it's not because you're not loved, but because the child is just wanting to look after his own normal adolescent needs.
And
so we get all wrapped up with, you know, other reasons.
And a child who gets caught up in taking care of one or both parents, that can interrupt their own individuation process and development.
It's
an important thing. So, Liz, if you were to give us one big tip for parents dealing with teenagers in a divorce, what would be your biggest tip? You've mentioned a lot.
Well, there are heaps, but one of the things that come in and I hear teenagers talk about, that, you know, they hate feeling torn between their parents, right? So an example of that is an activity, like they're both invited to a school recital or something, or at a school sports carnival, and or whatever. And they hate the feeling, like the sports carnival, mum sits at one end of the stadium and dad at the other, and who do I sit with? Where do I go?
Yes, yes.
So, like, sit near one another, even if you can't sit next to one another. Sit within like a 10-metre proximity if you can, because then the child can flip around without feeling, you know, like it's that obvious that he's running from one side of the world to the other.
Especially with their friends around. Their friends would be around.
And the other thing is, sometimes schools will send invitations out and say only two people can come, you know, because grandma and grandpa and all them can't come because, you know what, we've only got, you know, 100 seats in the auditorium. This is a conversation you've got to have, the children have to be able to say to you, I want mum and I want dad.
Yeah.
And it's tough.
Because
mum and dad sometimes have other partners.
Yeah.
You know, and then there's grandparents. So mum and dad, it's just time to think for your child before your own hurt feelings. It's tough.
I always say to divorcing parents or separate parents that are separating, it's like you're grown up, but for this job, you've just got to grow up that little bit extra because you're doing something that wasn't really on the agenda and wasn't meant to go this way. So it really, really does take a lot. And I know we're all empathic to that, but it is so important.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. So, and they need it teens need stability to anchor them. And if we can anchor them, then we're going to have great resilient adults.
Yeah, I wonder if our listeners have got some tips for co-parenting with teens after divorce. 13 12 83, that telephone number. We'd love to hear from you tonight. Liz, it's fantastic to have you back on the program.
Yes, David, nice to be here.
Liz, you're a joy to have on. Thank you so much.
Okay, thank you, Melissa.
Okay, bye.
Good night for the rest of the night. Bye.